Hi, this is Rick Telberg with John Higgins and Adam Batchelor. John Higgins is the co-founder and now chief partnership officer of CPA Crossings. Adam Batchelor is the VP of Learning and Development for the Pennsylvania Institute of CPAs and now CEO of CPA Crossings. I'll explain those titles this way. The Pennsylvania Institute of CPAs just purchased CPA Crossings, and it is a tectonic shift in the CPE business. And we're going to find out a little bit about what that means for both organizations and the profession in general. Thank you. John, let's start with you. How did this deal happen?
So thanks for having us on this interview, Rick, first of all. How it happened, CPA Crossings has been offering online learning through state CPA associations for over 10 years now. And Pennsylvania PICPA has been one of our strongest partners in terms of their members attending our webinar events. And so Adam Batchelor reached out to me last December and began the conversation about, does it make sense for PICPA to acquire CPA Crossings? And so we discussed and negotiated for an 8-month period. And the more we went down that path, the more it became clear to both parties that this was a true win-win situation for both PICPA and CPA Crossings, as well as our network of the other state CPA associations that we partner with. So that's in a nutshell how it came about.
Adam, what's your story about how you got together?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you, Rick. And I love that you call this a tectonic shift. We've been talking about transformation at PICPA and the impact that we're having. But I kind of like tectonic shift a little bit better. It sounds more, sounds bigger and more global, maybe. So we'll take that. At PICPA, we have, I would say that among our peers, we respect and adore all of our other peer state societies. But we're especially lucky in Pennsylvania to have great, strong leadership. Our chief executive, Mike Colgan, our chief operating officer, Jen Kreider, and certainly our board leaders, our volunteer leaders, have been really forward-looking and trying to figure out as kind of, the world changes around us to ensure that we have a hand in that change, that we're not just subjected to it, that we don't become victims of the transformation happening to the profession that we serve and our members, but that we actually take a leading role in making sure that as change happens, CPAs and the profession, the integrity of the credential and the members that we serve continue to play an important role in their communities and in the market and all those sorts of places where our CPAs operate. And so we've been doing a lot of work strategically now for several years to say kind of what's next for PICPA and how do we continue to serve our members better? How do we think about investments that we can make in serving members better? And in doing so, how do we return those investments? And so, when you start thinking that way, certainly partnership becomes a more and more important word around the office and in the strategic plans. And so we've talked about, for at least the last 18 months or so about, what are the types of partnerships we're interested in at PICPA? And CPE kept coming up because it's a part of our existence at PICPA that has changed so dramatically as people, even before COVID-19, people were drifting away from live in-person learning and towards online learning. We wanted to make sure we were participating in that change, serving people in that space. So it became clear and clear that partnership in CPE made a lot of sense. And luckily we had the leadership who was willing to explore acquisition to get there. And an acquisition like CPA Crossings that would give PICPA the market big enough to justify the investment, right? So we can go out and build all kinds of things for Pennsylvania CPAs. But if there aren't enough CPAs or enough customers for whatever it is that we build, it will never be a good decision for the association. So in acquiring CPA Crossings, I think, we'll talk an awful lot about why I think CPA Crossings was the best, why we think CPA Crossings was the best partner. But in acquiring this way, we really looked and said, well, this gets us what we need for our members in Pennsylvania. It gives us a bigger footprint. It gives us, more opportunities to engage with CPAs, to do all the things I just mentioned about, staying in line with our mission, serving the profession. And honestly, it gives us some incredible talent as well. John and his partner, Brian, who started CPA Crossings, you know, we've worked with them for those 10 years that he talked about at PICPA. We like them. And so, you know, happy to talk more about why CPA Crossings makes sense. But that's really how we get ourselves to what is really kind of an unusual move for an association to go into like into M&A mode, right? But it made an awful lot of sense. It aligned really well with the strategy that our board has set out for us. And I think, as John mentioned, as we went through that process of negotiation and discussion, we just the opportunity, the potential for us to do new and different things that serve CPAs in Pennsylvania and beyond, it just got more and more exciting as we went. So we're so happy about it. We're glad to be working with John and Brian and the whole team in Michigan, and I think we're excited to get closer and closer with our peers who are the primary customers of CPA Crossings.
John, you've been in the CPE business a long time. Have you ever seen a deal like this?
Yes. Well, not with the state CPA Association, but I know some of our previous online learning competitors have been acquired by other entities. So that part's not unusual. But in terms of in the state CPA Association market, the only two other examples that come to mind for me are the California CPAs. Cal CPA has been a big player in the online learning market and working through a distribution network of other state societies that very similar to the CPA Crossings model. And then the Maryland Society of CPAs has done something similar with their BLI, their Business Learning Institute, which tends to focus more heavily on corporate training, I would say. So those are two other examples where you've had a state association. I think in both those cases, they built it from the inside, whereas PICPA went external. And as I discussed with Adam and Mike and Jen during the negotiations, I think they're they have a really nice advantage because, you know, since we were already established as an independent organization, we've built those trusted relationships throughout the state society network. And so I think there's a lot of comfort with all of our partners, as I've been talking to them over the last few weeks, to want to continue the relationship. The response has been, first of all, surprise. You know, we kind of caught everybody in the market by surprise. The second response is like, you know, congratulations. And the third response has been, this is a really good idea for both PICPA and CPA Crossings. And those other state CPA associations see the potential for this to help them, which is really important to me from a personal perspective, you know, having been in this business as long as I have and get it to the point where it is now and building those relationships, that they have the confidence that together CPA Crossings and PICPA can help them deliver better solutions for their members. Because but I'm just going on a little tangent, but the market is changing. You ask any state CPA association executive and there's, you know, what's keeping them up at night is, okay, what's our value proposition going forward? How do we not only maintain our value proposition, but how do we grow it? And so, you know, now we have an opportunity together to be more innovative, you know, and to apply the resources that are available, both people and money to do new things and to go into areas that maybe others haven't been able to try to do that yet.
Adam, if the CPA Crossings deal turns out to be as successful as you hope it will, do you think other state associations will be making strategic moves similar to Pennsylvania's?
I hope so, right? Because if state associations, if state societies are making decisions like this and are, you know, taking advantage of opportunities like this, it means that there are strong and thriving state societies, right? Pennsylvania was in the good position, the fortunate position, thanks to decades of strong leadership to be able to do this. It takes an awful lot of things to come together in the right way to make something like this happen. If more of this happens, it means that good things are happening, that good, you know, confluences of events are happening for state societies. And so, of course, we hope that happens. And honestly, the nature of this acquisition is such that, you know, because the primary partners of CPA Crossings are organizations just like ours, mission-driven, not-for-profit state associations of CPAs, which means that we can't do anything unless we're certain it's going to benefit our members. And so as long as we are a a strong partner, a partner of choice, the CPE provider of choice to other state associations, it means we're doing the right thing by their members. It means we're doing the right thing by CPAs, by the individuals who are out there holding the credential, doing the work, you know, all of the critical roles that CPAs play in society, right? Certainly audit and attest, but so much more. And as long as we're doing the things that those people need, I think we can feel pretty confident that that we're doing the right thing by our members and that we're finding success in this this strategic move here to get closer with CPA crossings.
John, this strategic move represents an important landmark in the consolidation of the CPE business. What do you see going forward for state associations?
Back to the point I made a few minutes ago, there are, you know, every state association is trying to figure out the value proposition they bring to their members, how to, you know, offer higher quality CPE. We're committed strategically to try to do everything we can to make the products and services we offer to be brandable, if that's a proper term, by the individual associations, because that's one of the things they really want, Rick, is they want to, you know, the market today for online CPE at the state society level is one part the programs that the state society develops themselves, which for most states, that's probably a small percentage, maybe 10-20% of their online learning. And the rest is when they partner with other providers like CPA Crossings and some of the others we mentioned, like Cal CPA, AI CPA, and so forth. But, you know, for their value proposition, the less they can have to send their members off to a third party to get the learning, the better off they are. They really need to show their members that they're the force that's bringing these programs to them. And so that's one of the things we really want to try to shape as much as we can in the way we offer our solutions through the state CPA associations. And I think that just the economics of it, as Adam kind of alluded to, there aren't a lot of state CPA associations that have the financial wherewithal to do an acquisition, in my opinion. And then the next best option for them is to partner with folks like us. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that that partnership is full of integrity, full of quality products, and that helps them to increase their value proposition to their members.
I'll come back to that in a minute.
Okay.
In the meantime, let me get some basic facts out. Adam, how much CPE does the PICPA deliver before the deal?
A ton, a lot. So we serve, and it's changed an awful lot over the years, but we can talk, you know, I'll start off with kind of numbers of programs. But for our, in Pennsylvania, we've got between 20 and 22,000 members at PICPA. To serve those members, we're offering on an annual basis 300 to 400 live in-person seminars. We typically do about 15 live conferences. We're webcasting all of those conferences. We webcast about 115 or 120 of the seminars I just mentioned. We've got at any given time, you know, 300 to 400 hours worth of on-demand content available for our members. And then through partners like CPA Crossings and others, we offer 3,000 to 5,000 webinar titles per year, right? So additionally, we also offer certificate programs. We partner with the AICPA on those. So among all of those various offerings, we're doing 10 to 15,000 individual registrations. So you know, extrapolate that out times the number of credit hours, tens of thousands of credit hours per year for our members. So it's a big part of what we do. Not just from a numbers perspective, but the primary driver of who we are as a state society is members, right? Membership is the primary reason for our existence. Our animating force are the members. And so all of that CPE ends up being the primary reason why members join and stay, right? Staying informed, keeping up to date, being ready to serve their client or company needs. So it's important to us from a numbers perspective. It's also important to us because it's a big driver in why people continue to be members. Those 22,000 people continue to be members of PICPA.
Adam, how does the CPA Crossings deal change the number of CPE credit hours you'll now be able to deliver?
you know, I'm gonna work with John to do the arithmetic on that because he is a CPA, and so I trust his math more than my own. But it certainly changes it dramatically. John mentioned earlier that CPA Crossings is serving something like 40 of the state societies, in addition to some other partners. So it'll be a big change in terms of the number of individuals that are you know participating in programs, the number of hours they're consuming. The number of subject matter experts we're working with, but I don't know, John, do you have better math than me on that?
Sure. Yeah. So we, just to give you some perspective on the webinar offerings that we have, Rick, with our catalog, we have, as Adam said, about 40 state CPA associations that offer our programs to their members, in the 2020 to 2021 year, our CPE year, if you want to call it that, we have, I think, currently offered 398 unique titles as online courses, and most all those are offered on multiple times a year as rebroadcast or replays. And in total, I think last year had 25 to 30,000 individual unique registrations. And so now everything we're doing with PICPA will allow us to grow that, to come up with some new products, some new types of offerings. We're just now in the process of forming a national agreement with Canada CPAs, and they have 14 provinces, and they're all very excited about offering our programs to their membership across Canada. So that could have a substantial impact on the growth of overall registrations.
John, you're the CPA. Let's do the math. Mm-hmm. How many organizations out there deliver as much or more CPE than the combination of CPA Crossings and PICPA?
I'm going to say certainly AICPA, I would think, would certainly have the upper hand on that, probably just because they're global now and have all their new, you know, affiliated associations. So they would probably, I think, still be pretty far out there, number one, in terms of sheer volume. And then I think California CPAs would be another one that's very, very high up there. But yeah, I certainly think we're now, as a joint force, we're got to be one of the top five.
Would you include in the top five Wolters Kluwer and Thompson and Intuit?
Yeah, you know, what I don't know about them, Rick, frankly, is I don't know exactly what kind of volume they do. I just don't know. So I'm not really qualified to answer that from that perspective.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably hard to get to a hard number on those things. There's certainly a handful of big organizations that distribute all different ways. In sort of the peer group of CPA Crossings, I certainly would say that CPA Crossings is in the top 5 or 10, like John said. As we get into some of those other folks who are providing different services to firms and even firms themselves, right? So the big four and beyond are providing CPE not only to their professionals, but to their clients and customers and alumni and everything else. So there are a lot of big organizations providing an awful lot of CPE. I think that for the types of people that state societies are working hard for, CPAs in corporate finance, CPAs in public accounting firms, and I think, you know, we certainly are in good company and glad to be at the position that we're in terms of the amount of CPE we're going to be providing. Because I think it's also really high quality, and Rick, we can talk about that. I don't want to go on too long here and hijack things. But you know, there's a few factors that help people decide, you know, where they're going to get their CPE from. And for me, it's most important that we're hitting those factors for people than that we're doing the most, right?
Thanks for letting me think about this for a second, John. The CPE business has changed a lot in recent years with the advent of free CPE. How does a paid model compete with free?
Well, it certainly has challenges, but it's, you know, we say it's free, but it's really, I call it subsidized CPE. Somebody's paying for it, and those who are paying for it are sponsors who are trying to promote a particular product or service. And so CPAs that attend those classes know going into it that, you know, it may or may not be a sales pitch, or some form of it may be a sales pitch. We don't do that. We don't do sales pitches. We are all about quality, getting the top rated instructors nationally. Those top rated instructors need to make money. It's just how the world works. And so, you know, the fee based doesn't necessarily translate to higher quality, But in our model, I can assure you that it does, because we want to make sure that we're bringing on subject matter experts or instructors who are focused and knowledgeable in their area of expertise, and that they can deliver it in a quality format. Because you have some people are really, really smart but can't present well. You have some people that can present well but aren't very smart. And so we look for people that have both those qualities. Not hard to, not easy to find that, frankly, but that's one of my responsibilities, is to make sure we do have good, high quality courses and instructors who can deliver them.
Adam, how does paid CPE compete with free CPE?
Yeah, Rick, you know, I think that I mentioned a little earlier that there are a couple of kind of driving forces between how an individual chooses what continuing education they're going to consume to get to whatever their requirement is, right? Or maybe even better, get to whatever it is they need to know, right? So not just compliance but competence. You know, I think certainly cost is a factor, and for some people, free is always going to win because that's just what matters most to them, and that's okay, you know, for those people. I think that we've also, though, got to think about quality, and John talked about quality being a really important part of the way that we build the portfolio of courses at CPA Crossings. It will continue to be, it always will be the leading factor in terms of what subject matter experts we're working with and what we're putting into the catalog. But convenience matters too, right? So, you know, we really think at CPA Crossings that CPE should be easy to get, even if it isn't simple once you're in there, right? So it should be of high quality, the content, but let's make it as easy for someone to consume as possible. So we're gonna spend a lot of time and a lot of energy and resources trying to make sure that what we offer to folks is absolutely of the highest quality, is as easy to consume as possible, just like the way that you consume any other content in your life. And we'll never forget cost altogether, because that really matters. You know, that it's as affordable as it can be, and that we're including all the partners that we have in that calculation, right? So the state societies are really important partners to CPA Crossings. They're not just a part of the model, they're sort of a part of the family and what we do, because we are one at PICPA. So it's important to us that we're thinking about the value that we deliver to those state societies, which includes revenue for them. That's important to all of their existences. So in all of those factors, I think we're trying to calculate all of them in. How does that add up to, do we compete with free? Well, hopefully it's better and easier. And hopefully folks see the value in investing in themselves that way, going beyond just the compliance with whatever their requirements are, and actually learning something in those 40 hours a year or 80 hours every couple of years, or whatever it is that that their state subjects them to from a requirement perspective. If you're going to spend that time, you might as well learn something.
John, how big is CPA Crossings catalog?
So this year we have 398 unique topics, ranging from tax, ethics, accounting, auditing, specialty niches like data analytics, and a pretty broad list with 398 unique topics. And we schedule those to be offered typically once a month, each of those topics. So our total catalog is up, over 3,000 to 3,500 unique events that are offered. We typically offer, 20 events a day. And that's part of the value of the model with PICPA and CPA Crossings and the national network of distribution partners with the other state societies. That's the only way you can make the economics work, Rick, is because any one state, except maybe California, but even them, it's hard to make the economics work if your only pool of prospective attendees is within that state. The way we do it, we offer our programs through all these states, and therefore that's the whole market of the United States, now expanded into Canada, and that's what allows the economics to work. Because you could have a course that could end up having 5, 6, 7 people in it. We can make that work for us economically. We couldn't make every course at that level. The whole model can't work at that level. And if you have just one state and you're offering 500 different topics or 1,000 topics to your members, you're just going to dilute your own, membership attendance.
So help me with the math. You've got almost 400 courses, over 3,000 events. How many CPE credit hours does CPA Crossings distribute?
I don't have the exact number, but I can tell you that the vast majority of our courses are 2 hours, two CPE credits. And then I would say second place is probably one CPE credit, and third place would be four CPE credit courses. But overwhelmingly, at least 80% are 2 hour events. And, with COVID, that ended up being a really good thing for us, because we've always been known for that, having a big catalog of short courses. But now people are getting webinar fatigue in some cases, right? Being online, they don't really want to be online to a course all day long. So the fact that they have all these choices from us that are in 2 hour snippets, that's really a good thing. That's a good product for us to have available for all of our partners.
Yeah, I think like so many things, whatever the historical data is, may not matter in 2020, right? The trends and the behaviors are changing so much. Preferences have changed so dramatically, including in the way that people are consuming their CPE, that who knows what that number will be by the end of 2020 and beyond.
Let's ask about the impact of COVID. Adam, how has COVID impacted the Pennsylvania Institute?
Well, you know, like every single other organization in the world, of course, it's had an impact on us in very, in human terms. It's just been a concern for us as we think about not just our members, but our staff across Pennsylvania, just making sure that those people are safe. And so, you know, obviously, practically, that means that just like everybody else, we all went home and worked from home. We were equipped to do that. Luckily, you know, we had spent the time and energy and resources to get ready to work from home in the years leading up to this. So it was a pretty seamless transition for us. I think our team continues to serve members just as well, if not even better potentially, as we went into COVID. From a learning and development perspective, we just, you know, slammed it into, you know, fifth gear or sixth gear, and we're able to put out a lot of good content for our members, you know, right from the very beginning about going remote, and then obviously moving into all of the impact on tax filing and tax date changes and all those sorts of things into stimulus. We've been pumping out, and our members have been consuming a ton of content in this space because they need to know it, right? Regardless of what part of the market you're operating in, PPP matters, and CARES Act matters, and remote work matters, and bringing people back into the office safely matters. And all of these things from a content perspective have been incredibly important. Just in terms of the profession, I think we've learned at PICPA the true nature of the fact that CPAs are essential, right? And you know, that's a big word here in Pennsylvania, and I know in a lot of other states all across the country, who's essential? Man, we learned CPAs are essential to our economy, to our communities, and they'll be essential to the rebuilding of our economy and our communities and businesses. And so looking forward, that's kind of the impact so far. We can talk about the numbers, but looking forward, the impact isn't going to stop because CPAs are going to have to continue to lead the charge there. And so we're, as an association, and separately CPA Crossings as a CPE provider, we're going to be looking at that and how we figure out what the next catalog includes. What do people need to know about what happens from here, how businesses rebuild and figure it out? What does the next tax filing season look like because of this? How are we accounting for all of these dollars? What are auditors going to be looking at in terms of going concern analysis and impairment, all of these important issues. We've got to rethink all the things that people needed to know and moving from the incredible engine that the economy had been to such a different world. So the impact there will be felt for a long time. A lot of preference changes in terms of what people are purchasing. Obviously, we did a lot of in-person learning. That's not happening at all. All of those 300 seminars we were going to run, the 15 or 20 conferences, they're switching as much as we can to virtual. We've seen people moving to webinars more and more. We're selling a lot, we're seeing a lot of people sign up for those 2 hour webinars that John talked about. So people are going to be getting to their, whatever their requirement is, in much smaller chunks and much smaller doses of learning. And I don't think that's such a bad thing. I think it's pretty much in line with the way that people learn best.
John, what kind of organization will survive and thrive through this COVID era? Whether it's a CPE provider or a state association or a CPA firm, what do organizations need to do to be able to survive and thrive beyond COVID?
Well, first and foremost, I think they all need to make sure they can truly do business remotely. And I think most have been very successful at that. So to me, that's been really one of the bright stars in this whole thing is how far so many organizations, how well prepared they were to work remotely. There were some that weren't. And so they got, you know, baptized by fire in that regard. So that would be job number one. For the CPA firms, I think this presents an opportunity, a really strong opportunity if they truly want to become more advisory to their clients, business advisors. You know, Rick, we've been in this profession a long time, and you know, how many conferences or presentations did you sit in where they said, as CPAs, we have to become more down the path of the trusted business advisor, which is always like, it sounded good, but how do I do that? I'm too busy doing compliance work. Well, now there's lots of opportunities, you know, as Adam kind of alluded to, we come out of this COVID crisis and, you know, there's going to be a rebuilding of the economy and there's a lot of businesses that are going to be, you know, really challenged cash flow wise. How do they manage their finances? You know, and all that. So that's where I think there's a great opportunity for CPA firms in that regard. In terms of the state CPA associations, the big shift that they have to deal with, and it really was a trend already going on, is a decline in-person, you know, programs. And so that decline went to zero overnight, virtually, right, with COVID. And so that's a, you know, typically been a pretty big revenue stream for most state CPA associations. And so what you find that they're doing and have done is they're trying to, you know, provide their own model for delivering their in-person programs online. And I can tell you that at CPA Crossings, we, you know, always responsive to the marketplace. So right away, we came out with a service called virtually hosted events, because a lot of the CPA associates said, okay, we've got these 10 seminar courses scheduled in, say, May and June. We want to put them virtual. But they didn't have the infrastructure in place, you know, the personnel in place to do that in many cases. So we had, for us, it was truly a revenue growth area to offer that service, and it allowed the state CPA association to continue to be the provider of that event for their members. We just really provided the back office, if you will, in terms of the delivery platform and so on.
Let me get this question. John, going forward, how will CPA Crossings continue to work with its state association's clients?
Well, you know, that's one of the things I'm really excited about, the way we've structured things with my role as the chief partnership officer, that I will be much more focused than I was before as a part-time business owner and part-time partnership officer. Now, you know, there'd be pretty full-time partnership officer to really spend time with the state societies to help them understand the marketplace, learn from them, you know, where they need help, and identify ways that we can provide more assistance to them to help them provide better programs. So I'm really pretty excited about that part of it, because again, they're all struggling. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but they're all challenged right now with what is the transformation of our model? What does it have to be, and how do we do it? You know, in a period where you do have to compete with inexpensive CPE or sometimes free CPE, how do you drive that member value proposition? And, you know, we want to help them, because if we help them, that helps us. You know, so it's good for everybody. It helps the profession.
Adam, in a way, the acquisition of CPA Crossings has positioned the PICPA as a potential competitor to 49 other state CPA associations. How do you get past that with them?
So Rick, I've agreed with you on everything so far except for that, because without hesitation, the acquisition of CPA Crossings has positioned PICPA as a much stronger partner to our peer organizations, as a stronger partner to state societies. You know, in my relatively short time at PICPA, one thing I have learned repeatedly and in really passionate terms is the commitment that we have as an organization from our CEO, Mike Colligan, really throughout the organization, a commitment to this network of organizations, the network of state societies, to serve our members and to help each other get better at serving each other's members. So partnership is for sure the perspective that we're taking. And I think in the conversations we've had so far with our colleagues in other state societies, they see it the same exact way. Honestly, once we got cleared the initial shock of this announcement, I think what we've seen is that so many ideas are percolating, right? So many of the conversations we're having now are just, geez, this makes an awful lot of sense. And now we can think about how we can work together differently. So partnership is the constant refrain among my peers, I know, in learning and development and all the other roles that we have in our organizations. How can we collaborate better? There's no reason for all 50 of us to be doing the same thing 50 different times, 50 different ways. So how can we get better and achieve, you know, better scale and realize higher value and all those sorts of things for our members by working together? So, you know, I'll continue. That's not just rhetoric. That's the model for CPA Crossings is how do we work better together and how can Pennsylvania be a facilitator of that sort of collaboration?
Adam, what does the deal say about the future of learning in the profession?
Well, you know, hopefully it says that the future of learning remains in state societies and state associations for so many CPAs, right? And it's critical for us that we you know, maintain that position for our members in Pennsylvania. I think the same is true for state societies, for other state societies, which is why, you know, from CPA Crossing's perspective, we'll continue to work with, distribute, partner with state societies. They will continue to be the primary way that we distribute and that we grow as a business. So that's really important to us. I think that, you know, the future of learning beyond where people are getting it from, right? When we started talking with John and Brian at CPA Crossings early in this process, we realized we had a really strong, it's really strong agreement where we think people will consume learning in the future, which certainly is online, which is where CPA Crossings has been, but it's also more and more online and on demand and ready when, where, and how the learner wants to consume it. I think that NASBA has moved in a similar direction and kind of identifying that as where they think the future will be from a standard setting perspective. And if you just think about yourself, the way that you're consuming things, right? It's, you know, to watch a television show no longer just means, you know, flicking it on and trying to find out what's on at that time. It's going out to Netflix or some other place and watching what you want when you want it. I think CPA has to be in the same exact space. It's more and more becoming the expectation. I think that's where learning will go. And the resources that PICPA has will help realize that shared vision that CPA Crossings had with PICPA, right? We can invest to get ourselves there really quickly. So, you know, our members, our partners will see from us very soon a new on-demand learning platform that will help members learn when, how, and where they want to learn, to stop and start, to be social, to share and like and get recommendations and all the sorts of things that we expect from other platforms where we're seeing content applied to the CPE space. So for me, it's all about innovation. And in fact, in the new mission statement that we crafted for CPA Crossings, innovation comes up awfully quick because if we're not delivering the highest quality CPE on the best possible platforms and using innovation as the driver, not just in what the content is, but in the way that we deliver the content, then we won't realize all the potential that we saw as we started talking about this. So we will continue to invest in innovation and try to be, you know, ahead of the game in terms of where we think learning will go and how people want to consume and complete their CPE requirements.
John, change at State CPA Association started out slow and then suddenly got fast. How are state CPA associations changing with the times?
Well, I think they certainly, particularly this year with COVID, they've all learned very quickly how important it is to be able to deliver online learning programs to their members. And there's different models out there. And certainly we like to be a primary model for them to do that through CPA Crossings in our partnerships. But that's probably the single biggest change that I think you've seen in state CPA associations in recent years is really embracing the online model more and more. Again, getting back to this partnership now we have with PICPA is that this gives us the opportunity to help develop some to create some innovation, and just learning is going to change. We don't all really know how it's going to change. My vision is that it's going to be, you know, you're going to ask Alexa, you know, what are the 5 things I need to do to get my PPP loan forgiven? And Alexa's going to have a video come out. Somebody's going to tell you exactly what that is, and I'm going to get CPE credit for it. You know, that's where I see it going. How quickly we can get to there, who knows? You know, but the technology's there. It's just now you got to have all that knowledge somehow put into that platform. So
yeah, and I agree with you, John, and I hope you don't mind that I jump in there too, Rick. I think the things that will make state CPA societies successful are very similar to the things that will make CPA firms successful and corporate finance departments successful, right? The state societies that I admire and the ones that, you know, the peers that whose words I'm hanging on and listening to get better are talking about not just embracing technology, which obviously is so important for firms, societies, individuals, everything else. But they're taking a really hard look at data and how they can learn from data, make better decisions, understand their constituents better through data. I think that, you know, is tremendously important. They're doing, you know, embracing technology, embracing data as a driver of decision making, and finally looking at partnership and collaboration more clearly, right? So, you know, if all of us can do those things a little bit better, you know, embrace technology, invest in understanding things through data, and work together better, whether you apply that to state societies like ours, the firms that we serve, corporate finance departments, whoever it is, I think we all will be much better equipped to survive and thrive going forward.
Adam, what does this deal tell us about the future of the CPA profession?
Well, I, you know, from PICPA's perspective, I hope that it tells us that the future of the profession is bright and that it is ripe with potential and possibilities, because that is the resounding kind of, I've worked in learning and development my whole career, and the resounding lesson learned from going through the process of acquiring CPA Crossings is there is a ton of potential out there. There is a ton of possibilities in terms of where we will go. And I think that's true of the profession too. I think that as we embrace change, maybe go beyond embracing it to thriving in it, requiring it, expecting it of ourselves and the people that we work with, that there's a ton of potential for CPAs and the organizations that serve them to continue to grow and fill new and different and you know, more revenue rich and all sorts of niches that way. So I think it should tell us that there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of potential out there. From CPA Crossing's perspective, I think the deal should tell us, for one thing, that CPA Crossing's is, and I obviously have a very strong bias here, the best CPE provider that CPAs can turn to, the best CPE provider that state societies can partner with, based on content, based on our willingness to work and serve customer and client needs, learner needs. So it should tell us that an organization like PICPA was willing to make the investment in CPA Crossings. The future is, you know, is bright for CPA Crossings. And if you know what CPA Crossings does, it's an awful lot of technology. So it should tell us that an investment in learning about technology is it's likely an investment well spent for the future of individual CPAs and the societies that serve them.
John, the same question to you. What does the deal tell us about the future of the CPA profession?
Well, I think it's, you know, if you think about it in the big picture, that you look at the state CPA association, that has been kind of the go-to entity for CPA professionals across the country for many years. Most of the states have recently celebrated their 100th year anniversary or are getting closer to that. And they all have a state CPA association. They have multiple hats to wear for their members, right? They got to serve their membership needs. They got to serve their learning needs and other things. Now we have CPA Crossings here. Our sole focus is learning. It's education. So we now have more resources with the acquisition from PICPA to really invest in research and development and innovation and be that resource for the profession, because, and this kind of goes back to the whole discussion about how do we compete with free CPE. When you look at free CPE, that's typically a byproduct of the provider, right? They're really doing that so they can promote what they really offer to the marketplace, a product or a service. In our case, it is our core business, learning and development. And so now we have the ability to really grow that even further, higher quality, more breadth and depth of what we offer, and help the state's CPA associations bring more value to their CPA members, whether they're a sole practitioner, a controller working in business and industry, or a CFO, or an entire accounting firm.
Adam, what's next for the PICPA?
Well, we are we're working hard now to make sure that CPA Crossings remains a successful and thriving CPE business. So what's next, and we're 24 days into owning CPA Crossings when we record this, is making sure that the next 24 days are even better than the last 24, right? So in the immediate future, it's about making sure that CPA Crossings continues to be what CPA Crossings always has been, which is a wonderful provider of CPE, a great servicer of customers, and one that's interested in innovation and learning. For the Institute, for PICPA, it certainly always has been, always will be, about our members. And so we're going to continue to work hard to make sure that we're providing value to members. Probably a word that I repeated more on this conversation than any other is partnership. So I think as we look out even further from there, what's next is a continued appetite to look at how we can partner, how we can, with state societies, find ways to work together better through CPA Crossings or otherwise. With firms, with other organizations, with thought leaders like you and others. What's next is making sure that we are working together to serve the needs of the profession, advancing the profession into a brighter future, which I think exists. Finding ways to ensure that as CPAs, their firms, and the companies that they serve move into what is frankly an uncertain future, that we're as well equipped as possible to serve those needs of the firm and of the companies that they serve. So what's next is certainly a strong membership base at PICPA, a thriving and growing CPA Crossings, and an organization in PICPA that's interested in working really hard to work together with others, to get along well with others, and to find ways that we can all benefit together.
John, what's next for CPA Crossings?
Well, the next step, the first step is making sure that we build and expand upon our current relationships with our partners and bring in new partners. And as we get into next year, to come up with more innovative ways to deliver online learning programs, as Adam mentioned, the on-demand as an example of that, and other ways to be innovative. That'll certainly be next. And we want to, you know, really look at the technologies we use to deliver the online learning. There's lots of opportunities to tap into new technologies that are out there and just, you know, build a better mousetrap in terms of how we deliver online learning. And that'll keep us pretty busy for the next couple of years, for sure.
It sounds like it'll be a busy time.
Yeah.
Is there anything I haven't asked that I should have?
Well, you've asked a lot. I think we've covered quite a bit for the audience. They should really have a pretty good understanding of, you know, the value proposition for what this transaction is all about. I think you did a good job.
Adam, any final words to summarize what the key takeaway should be?
Well, first I'd just say, you know, thank you, Rick, for having us on. Your platform is important, and I know reaches a lot of CPAs and non-CPAs who are interested in what's happening in the profession. And so just, you know, appreciate spending the time and having the conversation, because I think that while certainly this has been a transformational time for PICPA, for the future of the Institute, we hope that it's something that the profession recognizes as being beneficial, you know, certainly to our members, but beyond them as well. So thank you for noticing, and thanks for having the conversation. Key takeaways should be, I think, that there's a ton of opportunity out there if we all spend the time and the effort and the energy trying to learn about the things that we have responsibility for. At CPA Crossings, that means learning what the needs of CPAs are and building the best possible engagement opportunities for them to get better and better at the things they're responsible for. I also think that it's important that as we move forward, we're thinking about new and different ways to do old things and new things together. So another important takeaway is just to keep paying attention to CPA Crossings and expecting innovation and expecting more announcements, maybe just as exciting as this one recently, about how we can continue to serve people better, to help people learn more effectively. So Yeah, I appreciate the time. Look forward to talking again as we come up with some of that new and different stuff, and look forward to continuing to serve CPAs in Pennsylvania and at CPA Crossings across the country and beyond for a very long time.
It sounds like we should be keeping an eye on you guys, because you're going to be doing some amazing things together.
That's the goal, for sure.
Yeah, no question. That's definitely the goal, and we intend on meeting it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time today. Adam Batchelor, John Higgins, have a great day.
Thank you, Rick. You too.